What's up, world, and welcome to another edition of No Hooks for the Hip Hop Chronicles here at WEAA 88.9 FM. Also in partnership with the Real News Network, I'm Jared Ball. We got a whole crew involved in support of this program, both at the Real News Network at WEAA. Shout out to Dave Hebden here at the Real News and my main man, DJ Mike Nice over here at WEAA. We have the privilege today to quickly, as best we can, honor what is today the 44th birthday of Tupac Shakur. And to do that, we have with us veteran hip-hop journalist and historian Davey D, DaveyD.com, longtime historian and journalist, author as well. Davey D, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Good. Thank you for having me. And I should say Tupac was my neighbor, so...
Well, let's start there. Let's start there real quick. I mean, tell us about your former neighbor and why you think it's important that Tupac be remembered, or and maybe even, is there a way you think he's being remembered that distorts how he should be remembered?
Well, let's give it a little context. Where I live here in Oakland, his brother is really the one that we all knew first. His name is Mercedes, better known as Mopreme. He was pretty popular because he's with the Tonys. And so Mopreme is my actual, see him every morning as he comes out the house, had his high top fade. And, you know, I remember he said he had a brother, but his brother was like, he wasn't known. Pac wasn't really known. Eventually, as Digital Underground started to come together, first time I met Pac was when Shaq came by my house and Pac came with him. And that's when I met him and told me about his brother, living next door. And Pac himself actually lived up the street and on Harrison Avenue here in Oakland. And it was interesting because the Pac that we all know from the films and from his records and reputation, it was very different than the Pac that I first met. He was a guy who came into the house, was sitting on my staircase, was very quiet, didn't have a lot to say, and seemed very shy. And so that was my first memories of him. As time went on, I saw him to be a little bit more talkative. But the thing that really stands out to me the first time I saw a turned up Pac was maybe about a year after meeting him. He showed up at this nightclub where NWA was at, and he had bruises on him. And he talked about the fact that he had gotten beaten up by the Oakland police. And he was just really pissed, and he was talking about all the things that he was going to do. He's like, man, these dudes are going to pay, how he was going to make sure that they was going to give him a bunch of money, and he was going to set up a youth center. And he was very clear. And, and this animated, of course, we're looking at it more like you're animated because you got thumped on by the police, which anybody would be. But that was really a part of his personality. As we started to know, come out, meaning that there was somebody who had vision, that he was smart. He definitely was about social justice, so to speak.
Well, I mean, he comes out of that tradition. I mean, he comes out of the Black Panther tradition through his mother, Afeni, obviously, and then also through the New African People's Organization, a little bit of the history that often gets ignored or left out when people remember Tupac.
But at that time, but at that time, nobody knew that. We didn't, like when I saw Mopreme, he didn't say, hey, my father's Matulu, and Pac's mom is Afeni. Those weren't the conversations we really had at that time, even though we're here in Oakland and it's Panther thing. Digital, which was interesting, came out starting as a revolutionary group.
Right.
They were going to pattern themselves after Public Enemy. So you immediately kind of attributed whatever conscious raising that was coming out to that. It wasn't until Pac started to get known, and there was, I think, one particular concert that came together where they were trying to bring attention to then imprisoned political prisoner Geronimo Jijaga, then known as Geronimo Pratt, where Digital and a bunch of Bay Area groups were being tutored and mentored and getting public education classes. That realization of like Pac is connected to Afeni, the Panther 21, all that stuff started to become known. But you also got to remember it's in the context of a lot of people at a period of time We're talking about Afrocentricity, talking about being black and proud and all that. And so I think with Pac's ascension to the spotlight, his Panther roots, of course, became much more important and became much more of a thing that people looked at and held up. But in the beginning, it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't the way that I think people may projected, at least.
Oh yeah, no question. I know. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not. I understand that. I was just trying to highlight that in remembering the whole man, that part of his of his development is often ignored. Now, we only have a couple of minutes here, Davey. So, and I wanted you to, if you could, just quickly highlight what you put out today on your Facebook post about Pac, because I thought that was also very important in terms of how he's going to be remembered and what aspects of his life will be considered most often when people do remember him.
Well, I think one of the things that we often forget about is that he definitely had mentors around him. So you talked about the New African Republic. I always get the name backwards.
New African People's Organization.
Yeah, so he had that. But he also was, you know, in conversations a lot with Betulu, people like Sister Kilu and Asha out here. And, of course, you know, his own mom. And then I remember, of course, when Geronimo was freed. So there were these constant, there were these landmark people that was around him. And one of the things that's often overlooked about Pac is that as he was coming up, he was always trying to do things. So he was part of starting an after-school program in Marin County and working that. And I think that after-school program existed his day. He was writing a lot of spoken word and early raps with his first group, Strictly Dope, which was Ray Love. And he never really lost that commitment or that desire to uplift his people. Some of his actions, although it may seem wild and it was portrayed as something as being reckless, in his mind, his desire was like, I need to connect with the streets. I need to connect with the hood. Not for credibility, but I need to be able to connect with them so that when I talk to them and spit this wisdom, it would move them in another direction. And I think that's what he was really ultimately about. And I think the powers that be, as they saw some of these visions start to come into formation, I think that's when he became very threatening. And I'll just close by saying this. What's often not talked about is the press conference they had in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills with the NAACP the year that he passed. And at that press conference was him, MC Hammer, who was the top seller at the time, and Snoop Dogg, all of them, I think, associated or signed to Death Row. And it was at that press conference Pac was talking about taking all his 6 million fans from the albums that he sold, combining it with Snoop and Hammer. And they said that they were going to use their fan base to disrupt the political system, that they were going to have their fans become a monkey wrench into the system. And nobody talks about that sort of understanding of politics that he had. And I would have loved to see where that would have been, taken and how that would have unfolded if he was still alive. And I'll close by saying this. Digital Underground, as a group, brought that sort of politic locally when there was a moratorium on rap concerts. And they went to the city of Berkeley and made that threat to the council at Berkeley and told them that if you don't lift this ban on rap concerts, this had to be in maybe 1990 they did this. They said that we have a hit song out that sold 2 million copies called The Humpty Dance, and said, don't make us start doing a song about you people sitting on the city council that would put you out of office. And so they lifted that ban, but the fact is that they had always saw their fan base. And definitely Pac was in that mindset of being a potential army that they could use in ways to disrupt the political norm. So
Those
are the things that I think we should always highlight about Pac.
Absolutely. Davey D, thank you for joining us. And if you are not already one of his many followers on Twitter, check him out at Mr. Davey D, where you will also learn that he is a journalist, hip-hop historian, political junkie, Breakdown FM, Hard Knock Radio, OLM News for Free Speech TV, a Raider fan, a part-time gigolo for ladies over 80, and he represents Kemet, Oxlan, and Timbuktu. My main man, Davey D. And I know our astute audience caught you with that preacher clothes you dropped on us too, man. So anyway, thank you very much for joining us here. No Hooks, part of WEAA's Hip Hop Chronicles. I'm Jared Ball for our partnership with The Real News. Peace if you're willing to fight for it, everybody. Shout out to my main man, DJ Mike Nice, making sure everything sounds like it's nice and it's supposed to. Peace if you're willing to fight for it, everybody.